everyone.
Hey.
I'm Alicia.
And I'm Meredith.
And this is It's About the Pasta of Vanderpump Rules podcast. We're in season 9, episode 5. It was an all right episode. We're getting into some shit. I'm into it.
I have some thoughts.
We're going to apologize in advance. Our sound quality is not going to be great. Meredith,
no, yours is.
I'm putting us into one. We're a team, Meredith. Meredith's all out for her fucking self. So Meredith's in Puerto Rico, as you might know, which was a great experience. And for some reason, Bravo had to schedule two of our shows that we record for while she was in Puerto Rico. So technical difficulties have happened. Her internet's not great, but we're going to get through it. We've solved it. I'm in charge. So if something happens, I apologize.
Normally I record everything and handle everything, but
she's
today,
tech.
And Alicia has to do it today. So it's been an interesting experience.
She's my tech bitch. I do social media. I just slide in everyone's DMs. I don't know
and
what
you,
the fuck
you
I'm doing
like
here.
Manage the discussion and the social like funness, and I manage the technical aspects.
That's because at work we do the opposite. Like I never talk to people, and now
that
I
is so true.
I need to talk to people at work.
That is kind of nice.
Okay, so that's what's happening with that. But before we get into the episode, be sure to check out our other podcasts on the A&M Podcast Network. This one, our summer house / winter house one that is called Summer is Fun, but right now we're doing Winter is Fun. Check that out. We also have One Season Wonders. Please be sure to rate, review, subscribe. I actually logged into our like thing where we get reviews. We have none. So if you could fucking change that, unless it's going to be a bad one, in which case I have a feeling everyone's sitting here like, I just want to write them a 1-star review. So I'm not going to write anything, which like, thanks.
I do appreciate that.
But if you like us, can you just give us a 5-star review? It's like not that. You
especially
don't have to write
after,
that much.
Especially after the stress of recording this.
Yeah.
We need some happiness and joy.
Or give us a 5-star review and just rip us to shreds in the comment. Like, I don't care. As long as it's 5 stars.
That's actually so funny.
That'd be really
funny. And that makes me think of the Amazon, like, hilarious reviews that people do on products.
Yeah, great. Do that to us. But 5 stars. Also be sure to join our Facebook group. It's the same name as the podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Vanderpasta. I'm trying to kill it. We're getting way more likes. Listen, we aren't getting that many likes, but we're getting way more than we used to. It's not just me and Meredith liking the photo anymore.
We're actually committed to our social media.
Yeah,
our Instagram.
We're
not
committed.
All of our social media, just to Instagram.
Check out my tweets. I do polls. We'll talk about those at the end of the episode. Okay. First things first, Meredith and I are mixing it up. Let me crack open my alcohol.
This is my highlight moment. I got new juice from the store. Again, I'm in Puerto Rico, so there's fun juices. And I got passion fruit.
Ooh.
And who knew passion fruit was yellow? Not I.
Why did I think it was pink or orange or?
I think it's whenever things are flavored passion fruit, it's red or pink.
I think like a nice coral. Like I think of like an orange pink mix. Oh my God. Why is it yellow? What is a passion fruit? I've never just eaten a passion fruit,
but it's yellow.
Well, also before we get into it, we got some feedback on our last episode from Jackie. Ooh. And since she's our 5-star patron, we're going to read it.
Yes.
$5. She's 5 stars too. She's our 5-star patron. We are going to read it and talk about it really quick. So Jackie is still on the fence about Brock, but she does see Sheena talking about him like all her other boyfriends in the past, which is an immediate red flag. Time will tell with him. Yet, honestly, I wasn't shady of Brock. I didn't feel any shade from Brock until this episode. This was where I got like iffy.
Personally kept saying like, oh, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Cause everybody's been, I feel like saying that on social media, and Sheena has been too. And a lot of people have been saying it. So I'm like holding out, but I feel like we're getting to the tip of the iceberg to be like, all right, I think everybody can form an opinion now.
This is where I'm iffy. Lisa shading the ring is real Tiffany's, LMAO. Yeah, I love the Tiffany's. It's not a Tiffany's ring. It's a Tiffany's diamond, Jackie.
Which again, I don't understand that.
I mean, I'm not rich enough. Just buy me a $5 Etsy ring. We'll be fine.
I'm not even rich enough to buy a Tiffany's diamond, no, let alone a Tiffany's ring. I don't know what
that is. Tom dropping 12K on his friend's proposal, a no. Unless you're the friend, Jackie. Unless you're that friend that gets 12K. Then hell yeah. Home equity loans are no joke. Be careful or you're on your ass, which is why Jackie and her husband have never gotten one. I don't have a home to get equity against, but I will believe you. I don't want loans.
I don't have a home.
I know. Do you have a home?
No.
Exactly. So
I'm just chilling in a shack in Puerto Rico.
Thank God for Jackie being the responsible adult telling us like she not explains to get like a home
real
equity.
World stuff yeah. to us.
Yeah. Give Jackie those exercise machines ASAP. She'll piss her pants if she can skip a workout. It's just a cramp yeah. workout. I told, Agreed. Listen, Tom Sandoval and Sheena were on yes. an Instagram story doing it. And I sent it to Meredith and said, wow, they're doing one of those cramp workouts. And Meredith was like, what the fuck?
It's just, apparently it's all the rage.
It's a giant period cramp. Also, she's so glad that the proposal party ended at 10:30 because as a couple in their 30s, she cannot tell you parties do not rage into the morning hours anymore. And she was going to call BS if this group of 30 or a group in their 30s with babies even made it to midnight. So Jackie, I can't even make it to midnight. I have no kids and I'm 27. So I'm 26. Yeah, I mean, fuck.
I think the pandemic also escalated that for people who are not in their 30s yeah. and don't have kids.
There was nothing else to do but sleep and now we're all depressed.
Yeah. That's the point.
Day drinking for life with you. Oh, and Jackie has a lot of, I've got a lot of thoughts, but looking forward to the podcast, ladies. Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you so much.
I can't wait to bring you the thoughts on this episode.
Yes. And then for tomorrow, we have stuff, or when we record tomorrow, we have tons from Dustin that he made me laugh a few times. So excited. So let's get into this Vanderpump episode. So
did you go through Patreon?
Yeah. This was on the Patreon.
I know, but the whole, I don't even remember you going through the different levels.
Oh
you did
my
not
God.
Go through the levels.
You're right, guys. Join our Patreon. Patreon.com/Vanderpasta. Let me tell you what the fuck you can get.
Alicia's doing the job of two people, so some things are slipping through the cracks, but don't
I'm
worry.
Stressed.
I'm here.
And I'm drinking. Okay, so for $1 a month, you get access to our pre-show, which is where Meredith and I just discuss things. Today it was our technical difficulties, so enjoy that.
Enjoy.
Also, you get access to any episodes that we record early. That includes, you'll get the Vanderpump episodes for the live season maybe like 12 hours in advance. You get the Winter House episodes for the live season like 4 days in advance, so check that out. Mm-hmm. And then for episodes or like seasons that we go back to watch, you'll get those way early, like months earlier than everyone else. So you might as well join. For $2 a month, you get access to everything I just mentioned. Plus you get access to our after show, which is what we do when we go back and watch old seasons. So it's not for live seasons, but there's tons of after show shit right now on Patreon that you can go back and listen to. Also, we'll say your name on the podcast. So thank you to Chris, Danae, Dustin, Gina, Jackie, Kelsey, Mariah, Tracy, and Zoe.
Woohoo! I didn't forget about you guys. Don't worry.
I did worry. And then for $5 a month, you get access to everything I just mentioned. Plus, you get to give us your thoughts on the episodes and we'll read them on the podcast. So I love you guys sliding into our DMs because it doesn't happen enough on my normal Instagram. But I love talking to you guys about that. There's just so much that we're going to prioritize the patrons. They give us $5.
So you heard Jackie's just a minute ago about Dustin, last episode.
And whenever Chris gives us his critical feedback that we love, he's great. But yes, so that's what you'll get. Now's the time to join for live shows. Honestly, I think we only have Winter House for another month or so. And then Vanderpump's not going to be too much longer.
Yeah, so do it for November. We're about to go into November.
I would do it for November. Yeah, like I understand.
Honestly,
if you
switch even if you join after the first, you don't even have to pay until the following month. So join and then cancel.
Oh my God, Meredith, don't do that. You're shady and I'll call your bitch ass
out.
No,
join and then like drop down to $1.
I'll call your bitch asses out if you do that. Don't you worry.
But do it. I won't let her.
I'll do it. She'll cut me out because she edits.
It's like a trial.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Sad, but I'll think of you and hate you.
Try it before you buy it. That's what it is.
Also, we will pick a patron of the episode. So this week, our patron of the episode is Jackie, our OG bitch, our main one. She's the realest.
I think she's going to have a lot of interesting thoughts on this episode that I can't wait for.
Yeah. Honestly,
I'm ready
to
talk.
All right, let's get into the episode. So previously on Vanderpump Rules, Raquel and James got engaged. We found out Brock's family, or we found out about Brock's family in Australia and how he hasn't talked to the kids in 4 years. Lala is very concerned about Sheena and Brock. Raquel feels insecure about public speaking. Schwartz is seeing a fertility doctor. Katie wants to be really involved with the restaurant, but Sandoval doesn't want her to be. So as a solution, he lost his damn mind in Tom Tom and yelled at her. So we love to see it.
Love to see it.
Okay, so we open up at James and Raquel's apartment. Raquel looks fucking fantastic in her athleisure.
Always.
I wish I looked like that in athleisure.
I'm here for her short hair this season.
Yes,
also.
She looks so good. James texted everyone for drinks at the Belmont. He just wants to thank them for making Palm Springs the best trip.
This is the James we know and love. He's like thanking people. He is like a stand-up guy who does normal things.
We've never not loved James, even at his worst.
No, but like
he's the
in
best.
In sobriety, he is at such a great place.
Fantastic. Raquel is going to go to Lala's to hang out one-on-one. They're going to play some pickleball. She thought this is one of those things where like an acquaintance goes, hey, we should grab lunch. And you go, yeah, totally. And then it never happens, which is 90% of my interactions. But
yeah, I think that's what everybody thinks with people they're not best friends with.
But Lala followed through. So now Raquel's got to go. And she's hella nervous. I would be. After watching Lala play pickleball, if I beat her, she'd have fucking
yelled. It's like there's multiple levels. Like I don't want to play her in pickleball because her and Randall take it so seriously. Like they have a freaking court in their backyard.
And my poor
and
sweet
she's
baby
not the
angel.
Nicest.
Yeah, yeah, our poor sweet like, baby angel Raquel.
Which, like, James says that, like, Raquel's such an easy target, and the fact that, like, they are together, it just gives Lala such a target to put on Raquel for so many different things that are undeserving.
And even James has used Raquel as a target, so he knows. But he said, now that Lala's sober, there's no excuse. Lala should not be yelling at Raquel for anything. Okay, then we go to Tom and Ariana's house. There's a great montage of Tom Sandoval working out with punk rock music in the background. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I watched
what
it
a transition.
Three times. It was so funny. And then he came out to find Ariana like I thought she was just making drinks or like looking at drinks ingredients.
She was like organizing or inventorying like stuff, and I was like, what are we doing here?
We didn't know. But Sandoval comes out, he was letting off some steam supposedly from his argument with Katie, so that's where we got the great workout
montage. He's like, I feel so much better after that workout.
He needs confidence, and when he's like in a situation like he was at Tom Tom, he needed to look at Ariana and have Ariana give him that confidence. And he didn't like
but
that
instead,
Ariana he didn't like Ariana saying she was gonna or he was gonna die on a hill.
And she's like that's a common phrase. I did not mean you were gonna die.
Not actually gonna pass away.
No, I meant you're literally, I don't even know how to explain the phrase. How does he not know the phrase? Die in hell
means you're never gonna...
gonna win this argument.
Yeah, you're not gonna win the argument, but you're gonna argue until you're gonna keep going. No breath left. You're gonna die from it. But Sandoval says he's still not over the book signing, which honestly I forgot about. It meant nothing to me. So I don't know.
I'd already forgotten about it within the week that we've had in between these two episodes.
Honestly, even in this episode, when they would bring up the book signing later, I'd be like, oh yeah. Like, I still forget. It just didn't have a big impact on me.
No, you mean you don't have PTSD like Sandoval?
I never laughed so hard. I was like, wow, he should really go to therapy. But
this is the moment where he looks like, you can see how dramatic he is about things. Yeah. And I'm like, this is too much. Like, this is more than just like Sandoval creating an event in Palm Springs that he like thought the idea, was the judge, participated in, and emceed it. Like, this is even more dramatic than that.
It is. And what's even worse is they were going to have this night for Schwartz and Katie to come over and test out some drinks, and now that can't happen. And Ariana is the one that's frustrated. She's obviously doing something. She's the one who has
to pay for it.
We don't know what yet, but there's something with drinks, and now Ariana's pissed. So Tom says, "What about Brock and Sheena?" And Ariana's like, "Well, they know nothing about making drinks, and we don't know if that's a good or a bad." That's right, true. Sheena knows. Brock's a lost cause. Honestly, though, when we find out that they're making an at-home drink kit, that's a good thing.
Like, Brock is the person you want.
Brock and Schwartz, because we all know Schwartz can't make drinks to save his fucking life.
You don't want the professional bartender.
You don't want like Katie.
Server you don't being want... the one who is trying out your steps. You want Brock.
Yeah, you want me. You want Brock. You want...
you want the lay person. You honestly want the dumbest lay person, because if the you want, yes, no offense, Raquel, but like Raquel doesn't seem like she would like, isn't the quickest. No, so you want those people to test it out, to know that everyone even above that level can get it.
Listen, when it comes to making drinks, I'm a Raquel level. Okay. Raquel probably knows
more than me. A little splash of that.
Raquel probably, she works at a restaurant. She probably knows more than I do. I don't know. That's fucking
probably
shit.
True.
You want Brock. You want Brock here. But whatever. At the time, I was like, Brock doesn't know anything about drinks. I thought they were testing drinks for Tom.
I thought they were taste testing.
Yeah. I was like, Brock doesn't know anything. He just wants alcohol, which would be me. So now we're at Tom and Katie's house. Katie says Sandoval lost his damn mind. And Schwartz says he's heard that story a million times. He's over the book signing.
And Katie says it wasn't even about the book signing. It's the fact that Katie stands up to Sandoval. It's her making him admit that he's wrong about things, which I agree with this. I think there's a percentage of each, but I think it's majority of Katie standing up to Sandoval.
Yeah, I agree. Katie feels bad in regards to Ariana, because she kind of... like her and Ariana and Katie are friends, and now they're
has to back out of this event.
Switching subjects, don't forget, we're getting our sperm sample and Katie's gonna get tested. And then we get into this really intense conversation. So paperwork they had to fill out, Katie was asked if she'd ever been pregnant before. And so they start talking, and eventually they confirm they've had an abortion.
At first, I thought they were going to talk about how they had a miscarriage during all this pregnancy drama. And I was going to be like, oh no. I mean, both of them are very sad, but that's where I thought it was leading.
Yeah. I kind of, when Katie, cause at first she was like, yeah, so I had to like talk or like write that down. And Schwartz was like, okay. And I was like, I immediately went like, oh my God, they had an abortion. Or like Katie at least did. I didn't know how young or old she was, but we find out
it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was 10 years. It was really early in Schwartz and Katie's relationship. They were only together for about a year. They both wanted to have kids, but not at that time. And they were kind of in like a weird place in their relationship, fighting. And so they just decided this was what's best for them. And they believe everyone should have that right. Schwartz, you know, he couldn't comprehend what had happened when Katie told him. He didn't have a lot of money, and he said that they use condoms, but he would have done whatever he had to do to take care of that kid, but they both agreed they probably wouldn't have been together if they had kept it.
Yeah. So, I think like they would have been fine parents, and they would have like made it work, and like would have been, it would have been okay. But I agree that I don't think they would have been together.
I don't think so either. Plus, think about like Vanderpump Rules was on maybe 9-10 years ago, right? They were in no position to have babies. None of their friends were. Yeah,
this is definitely pre-Vanderpump Rules, or yeah, right when they started filming.
Like they were poor, working at these restaurants, like trying, mm-hmm, they were still trying to act at that point. Katie was doing modeling.
Was it when I still had the air mattress?
Yeah.
And she goes, where they were
at. No, you had the box spring, and you can just assume he didn't have bed framing. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate, honestly, I appreciate Katie opening up about this. I think
me too, especially in this time.
Yeah. It's not something that's talked about enough. Not to get too into it, but I obviously agree that everyone has the right to choose what they want to do with their life and their bodies. So I appreciated that they kind of brought this to attention and showed like, yeah, we did it 10 years ago. And like, we don't regret it, even though we're trying to have a kid now, it just wasn't the right time then.
I really like, this is a different story, I think, about abortion than most people hear of, you know, like we were struggling and this helped us kind of stay together. And now we can have kids when it is the right time for us.
Yeah.
It isn't because they hate children, they don't want children, or there are obviously cases of really tragic things happening where you need to have an abortion, like rape or incest and things like that. So just kind of, I think this brings such a normal version of it, of two people that people have seen on their TV for 9+ years, and like what their story is around it. And it seems like this could happen to anyone. I could put in any one of my friends and into this situation and completely understand it too.
Totally agree. So I applaud them. Now they're getting ready to have kids. I hope that it goes well. We all kind of know it's going to be Tom Schwartz's fault, but we will see.
yeah, we already knew because of previews.
Okay, so now we're at Lala and Randall's house. Raquel is here. They've honestly, Lala's hair looking good. Raquel's hair looking good.
Fabulous.
Oh my God, who are we?
I mean,
on my end, it sounded like the same time we said the exact same word and it was cool. Okay. Lala checks out the ring one more time. She never thought James and Raquel would last, but James was a hot mess back in the day. And all Raquel did was whisper. Honestly, I didn't think they were going to last either.
I was going to say, I agree. I like how she phrases this because it isn't like a, I can't believe they made it. It's wow. Back they the made day. It, even though like, it wasn't likely whenever they first started, like look at where they came from.
Back in the day, it was looking rough. Rough season.
It was a hot mess back in the day.
Well, now it's time for pickleball, and they put a wager on it. If Raquel loses at the Belmont, when James is thanking everyone for Palm Springs, Raquel has to do a toast. Which Raquel's already like, oh no, a toast.
And yeah, just like, a toast would have been the worst for her.
Lala's literally like, not even the worst part. Raquel will have to say that the engagement made her so wet in the speech. And Raquel's like, oh no, I don't like talking about sex. Like, I'm uncomfortable.
Raquel's like, I don't like talking, especially about that.
My
like,
sweet
I'm gonna be Sandoval. I'm gonna go die on whatever hill he's on right now.
She's like, no. But if Lala loses, Lala has to give a toast and say that the engagement made her so wet, which I don't know what's worse.
I think this is a pretty even bet.
Yeah.
But knowing that Lala is good at pickleball, this really isn't that fair.
Also, I think Lala would kill the speech. Even if she had to say that, she would have made it so funny.
Yes. I wanted Lala to lose so bad. To see her give this speech.
Yeah. Also, I think Raquel knowing would have laughed, and it just would like, there would have been no animosity. Like if Lala just did it without Raquel knowing, it would have been weird, but you know.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we do pickleball. My poor baby angel gets killed by Lala. Absolutely destroyed.
I was hoping she would get at least one point.
I know. I thought she did it first, and then she didn't.
No, I think anytime it looked like she got a point, it was out of bounds or something happened.
Okay. Well, so Lala does say she's not going to make Raquel give the speech if she doesn't want to, which I think is really nice because Lala
Yeah, I
knows it's
agree.
not in Raquel's comfort zone. And then Lala says that when Lala and Raquel weren't doing well, Lala placed, or when Lala and James also weren't doing well, it was kind of like a double, but she placed
Yeah.
a lot of the blame on Raquel for her and James's relationship not going well. And Raquel, of course, is like, why? I like wanted you to be friends. I'm like, just Raquel. I'm a sweet
Yeah,
baby angel.
why is the responsibility on Raquel? And Lala explained that she wanted Raquel to quote unquote check James, which I understand what
I
she's
get.
saying. Like basically like as his partner, like you should talk to him when things aren't going
Keep him
right.
in
But at the
line,
same
yeah.
time, that's what Lala would do, but that's not Raquel's style, which is what
No.
basically Raquel says.
Also, Raquel saw James probably scariest drunk. Like, we saw him scary drunk, but Raquel actually had to be there and like be around him. Can you imagine telling someone that angry and drunk to like check themselves? Like, Raquel was probably
Right?
just
But
scared. I would
also,
have been scared.
you don't
It's not
know
her
what's happening behind
responsibility.
closed doors.
Yeah. So, Raquel gets it, but she's just like, I'm not one to check anyone. And so Lala says she was just looking for a person to blame. But without Raquel in James's life, James would have been much worse off than he is now because he's like not worse off at all. He's like sober
Yeah.
and with like the love of his life. And Lala actually apologizes to my sweet baby
I
angel
like this.
Raquel. I
This
know.
seems genuine to me.
It does. And I really do want this friendship because I think James and Lala both being sober, I think they're good for each other. Even when they were both drunk, I thought they were good for each other just because
Agreed.
they
But
needed each other.
I don't foresee Lala and Raquel being BFFs. I think this
No,
just makes it
just
easier
cool.
for Lala and James's friendship to happen. So like double dates can happen and like
Yes.
more things can happen more naturally in a group.
Yeah.
And Raquel being there is not uncomfortable.
It just makes Raquel and Lala in a good spot, which I'm fine
Yes.
with. I'm sure Raquel is like, thank fucking God, whatever you
Yeah,
want.
she's like, you're not gonna attack me and yell at me?
Great.
Great, I'm
10
in.
out of 10. So now we're at Tom and Ariana's house. This is where we find out Ariana's having a drink tasting because she wants to do a cocktail subscription box. Because with the success of her book and Tom Sandoval's book, because he inserted himself,
What?
the
Significant
cocktail.
others can insert themselves in each other's business?
Oh my God,
No.
wait. They both did it. Him, he is
You've never thought
Katie.
about it?
No, he is Katie. Katie is him. They are the same fucking type of wife. They're
Yes.
both the wives. Ah. Now, when I say the wives show up, it doesn't count because Sandoval and Katie are the inserting wives. Ah.
Yes.
Wow, my mind's blown. Anyway, with the success of their cocktail book and everyone drinking from home, Ariana has thought up DFH, drink from home.
Well, she said she thought about it before, but those two factors were like, we're doing it now. Like,
Honestly,
why would we not do this?
I should sign up for this.
I agree, as I'm literally drinking from home.
My drink is literally in a can, so I'd love to make my own drinks, which I just don't do.
We should do that. I wonder if she has it out. Let's look into this, and this would be a fun Patreon event.
This would be fun. Okay, so Brock, Sheena, and Schwartz are here. Katie sends her regards. She's busy making the dopest chocolate chip cookie I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Schwartz is like, sorry, she couldn't come. And then it's like cut to Katie, and it's just a
She's
mega
like
cookie.
chopping up the chocolate. She's like putting on the sea salt. It looked delicious.
I
This
was like,
girl knows how to
shit, if there
party.
weren't cocktails at the other event,
I would have
Katie's
gone to
event would sway
Katie's.
me.
Is
Yeah.
Katie, though, also providing wine, maybe? I don't
I, you
know.
know, I could do both, is what I'm saying.
So Sheena's like, why isn't Katie coming? So then we tell Brock that Brock and Sheena that Sandoval and Katie got into it. Schwartz tells this story and says that Sandoval was a little condescending, which I don't think is the right word. I think Schwartz is using wrong words. I don't think
I don't know. I agree with right condescending.
One. I don't think it's condescending.
He literally told her that she feels entitled to her feelings. Yeah. Who doesn't feel entitled to their feelings?
Yeah, you're right. It's not funny. It's like a James moment where it's like so outrageous. What? It's funny. But Sheena's basically like, well, Katie's the wife, so of course she's going to be involved in the business ventures.
Sheena's like us watching this, like, well, of course she's going to be involved like, in a way. Sense.
And then Sandoval's like, yeah, but Katie's not my business partner. Schwartz is. And Sheena's like, yeah, but Schwartz is partners with Katie in life. So that
you gotta respect that.
So the business is kind of Katie's too. Like she can be involved. She's not going to own it.
Yeah.
But she, I don't understand why Katie just can't train and like do random shit. At the end of the day, the Toms still run it. Okay. They're the owners. They're at the top. You have to
just nod and just nod and let her have her feelings and move on.
It would be like the Toms to Lisa at TomTom, right?
Yes.
They don't have that big a say, but they help out with shit.
They give all their opinions.
Yeah.
That, and Lisa does whatever she wants.
That would be the Schwartz but she and never Sandy's like thing.
She never puts them down for like thinking something.
She just says, okay, I'm probably not going to do that, but thanks for your input.
Yeah. Remember when they were opening TomTom and Lisa brought in that cocktail specialist thing, how pissed off they were.
Yeah. Like, sorry. We're like, sorry, but things happen. She still respects your ideas. That's all they have to do with Katie. They don't have to do anything Katie says. They just need to respect, listen, and like make her feel like she's involved at some point.
You don't really have to like that Schwartz's thing to manage. You just have to listen and not scream at her for like voicing her opinion. And Katie needs to be better. Like the way Katie was saying, your name sucks, needs some work too.
Yes.
But.
Cause like at the end of the day, fine, Katie, there's your opinion. But if we still decide to name the bar Schwartz and Sandy's, you have nothing to like, you can't change that. Right. But if you bring Katie in and you're like, train the wait staff, Tom Sandoval can't be like, you're training incorrectly. Like, let Katie train. She knows what to do. She's got it.
It seems like Sandoval wants 0% of involvement from Katie, which is so unrealistic.
Yes.
When he gets involved, like I said, in Ariana's stuff, there's a double standard here, which I don't like. And it's a 0% involvement that Sandoval wants when that's just very unrealistic.
It's unrealistic.
No business partner, in my opinion, would ever look at somebody else and be like, sorry, your wife can't show up to this dinner we're having where we're discussing.
Like they're partners in life. Part of the bar is his wife. It just ridiculous. But this is where Sandoval says he has PTSD from this book signing incident, which is so fucking hilarious. PTSD is what people have when they go fight wars. Okay, your book signing.
Traumatic events. This was you getting yelled at and put in your place for doing something shitty one time.
I don't even fucking remember like exactly what happened and I don't care.
We get the clip of Katie yelling, I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly what this is. But I forget every time that this was Stassi's book event because it is so unmemorable.
I don't care. It happened for 2 episodes. No one gave a fuck. So Schwartz is basically like, we got to move on. Sandoval needs
Schwartz
to see a
tells
therapist.
Him to go see a therapist. And I'm like, I agree. He's like, I don't mean this condescendingly, but it clearly seems like you've been bringing this up a lot. So I think you need to get a therapist. And I agree. If he wants to dub this as PTSD, which I don't agree with that it is, but whatever, fine. You can have your feelings about it. That's fine, but go work on it. Yeah. Why are we holding on to this?
I'm not going to bitch about you having PTSD for the next 17 years.
And you know what? He won't go see a therapist because it actually isn't about the book signing and it isn't about Katie yelling at him.
It's about Tom wanting full control. So he should just open up Sandy's. this is when Sandoval says he doesn't like the energy of Schwartz when he's around Katie, to which Twitter went nuts because they were like, this is his wife? You mean his wife?
Yeah, he was like, you're such a pushover to Katie. And I wanted to be like, do you realize that she says the same thing about you?
They're both, listen, Katie and Sandoval are the same motherfucking person. I'm over it at this point. Both of them have done wrong.
One of your polls, which we can get to the responses later, but is Schwartz at fault, right?
Yeah. Oh, that was a tweet. Someone was like, unpopular opinion, but Schwartz is the real issue. And I was like, wait, kind of.
Yeah, like, he's Yeah, the tweet was like, Schwartz is using the other person to push his own thoughts. Like, he's making Sandoval the bad guy to Katie and Katie the bad guy to Sandoval. And that's not cool because that's going to really destroy
your
the
relationship
between
both.
The two.
Well,
it's not Schwartz's, but Katie and Sandoval's relationship. That's causing a rift because they're blaming the other one instead of Schwartz just owning his opinions.
Blah. Okay, let's move on. Now that everyone's done stealing Ariana's fucking thunder, we're going to make some fucking drinks. So basically, Ariana has given them the kit to make the drink and all the ingredients. And all they have to do is follow her instructions. So we're going to see if they can do this. So everyone separates. You got to make the drink alone. Who's going to be the worst?
Brock can't read the measurements.
Brock has no idea what any of these things are. And then Ariana and Sandoval are going to try them. So they go around. Once everyone's done, they try all the drinks. Brock does do the worst, but he's content with his drink. So who gives a fuck, honestly?
Yeah, that's the thing is, he's happy with how he did. And I don't, they never said his tasted bad, but his was the different one. They could tell.
Well, my other thing is like, they have the taste of real bartenders and they've done a cocktail book. My taste buds are not that refined. Give me alcohol, give me juice, make it taste a little okay and fucking fabulous.
And people who don't follow directions well know when it ends up, they probably did it wrong anyways.
Yeah, it's probably my fault. It's not your fault, it's my fault. Don't worry. So now it's time for sushi. But before Brock can eat, Sheena does a little sidebar with him.
Hey,
and
come here.
Sheena tells Brock about the conversation with Lala about Brock and his kids. And Lala doesn't like that Brock hasn't seen his kids in 4 years, which personally I get, but it's really not Lala's fucking business if you ask me, but whatever. So Brock says he acknowledges that his decisions aren't the best. Him and his ex-wife were together since they were 16. Coming to America did not help the situation that he was already in with his ex. The argument happened with his ex and he wanted to resolve things with his kids. But he's basically saying, don't get involved if you don't know the whole situation.
Yeah. Like he says, like, I don't want the comments when you don't understand the whole thing. Yes. And I agree with that. Like, Lala is giving a lot of judgment on things for not knowing everything.
Yes. So he's not trying to hide anything, but he doesn't want to talk about it. And I think he really doesn't want to talk about it on camera because this can give fuel to, we all know, we all don't say anything on camera. Erica Jane is facing this right now on Real Housewives. Yep. Don't get it recorded.
Don't,
if you're going to try and fight it.
I think he's even thinking a little bit more strategic than that of like, Bravo, I don't get control on the edit. So like, if I bring this in at all, I don't get control on how it's told. So I'd rather not say anything at all and control my narrative on it and like where the information goes, because he can easily be the bad guy this season if Bravo edits it a certain way.
That's super true. And his kids could probably see it, which he wants to have full narrative over that.
That could make things worse with his ex-wife.
I do get this, but basically, welcome to the friend group. We're all in your fucking business all the time. Give our opinions.
It's never going to get better. Good luck, Brock.
So now we're at the florist. Lisa is shopping for some flowers. Everything's super fucking expensive due to COVID, but you're telling me Lisa Vanderpump can't spend $31 on some flowers? That's a fucking lie.
She's going to do it, but she's like, whoa, price has jumped.
Okay, well, none of us can afford flowers, Lisa.
She also didn't have those expenses when indoor dining was closed.
That's true. So Sheena calls Lisa back and Lisa really wants to see her baby. And she's like, Lisa's like, should we also invite Lala? You guys can come over to the house. And Sheena's like, let's invite
need
all
more
the
buffers.
Girls. Let's invite everyone. So it's not just Lala and Sheena, which
I appreciate.
Smart.
This.
Yes. Smart. Yes. And then the Tom show up. Tom Sandoval's outfit is super fucking extra. We are flower shopping, sir. This is post-COVID.
He's like in costume 24/7. He didn't used to be this way.
He didn't. He was a lot tamer. Do you think it's because like COVID happened, so he didn't get to dress up? So now he's just like, he just shopped.
He has like
online shop a lot.
Up.
Yeah. Like in COVID, all he did was
he
shop.
He curated
so
a
like,
whole wardrobe that he's excited about.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. And I think he's more confident and comfortable with who he is. Like, yeah. I think the older you get, the more comfortable being like, this is my style. I love this.
Definitely. Well, whatever. I mean, like, dress how you fucking want, but I'm going to sweats.
Good for him. He does look like he stepped out of Cuba, though.
Yeah. So we let's talk. Lisa asked about the finances. Did you guys get the loan? And Schwartz says his home equity loan got denied, but he still has a small business loan pending. And Lisa's like, why did it get denied? And we have no fucking idea. But what maybe it's because on? Of the high interest rate they have on the house. So they need to refinance. Yeah,
Schwartz explains it a little bit in his interview and says, him and Kitty have a lot of equity in their home, but they have a high interest rate. So they need to refinance first. And then he could reapply for a home equity loan, which I'm like, this is just so stressful. Everybody refinance your home in COVID because I've heard interest rates are really low now. So yeah, go do that if you do have a home. My parents did it.
My parents paid off their house before COVID. So we own. Nice. Or they own. I know. My dad was really happy. He got hammered. So Sandoval, though, being how he wants to be seen as the nice friend, he has an ask to cover Schwartz's part. But Schwartz doesn't want that because that means Sandoval would own 67% of the restaurant, which gives him controlling interest.
Ooh, which Schwartz doesn't want. And Sandoval's like, wahaha.
Yeah, like Lisa's basically like, oh my God, Sandoval's such a good friend. Like, that's very nice that he would cover your part and you can pay him back. And
yeah, Sandoval, what a great partner you have.
Or Schwartz half jokingly is like, he's going to hold that over me. And yes, Sandoval, of course, is like, no, I won't. But I was like, oh my God, you know he would. Because he'd be like, yes, well, I'm controlling interest. So I'm going to make the decision not to have Katie a part
of this. Katie, you're not, do not even step foot in my wet restaurant, Katie, is what his first mandate would be.
Katie is blacklisted. Katie,
you're the new Kristen of the restaurant Get industry. Out.
That's awesome.
When Kristen's allowed in your restaurant, but Katie's not.
Oh, you know rock bottom has hit. So we're going to change subject. How's the sperm going? And Sandoval's or Schwartz says, we're going tomorrow. We're 98% sure everything's fine, but there's a 2% chance that something's wrong. But maybe he's just meant to be a fur father. We don't know, but he's
so sad.
He's going to get a fertility flower, which we found out orchids, and Schwartz has never seen an orchid. So it's like a very exciting day.
Them joking about having triplets is the funniest thing.
And Schwartz is like, it does run in my family. If Katie fucking gets triplets, I think she'd be so unwell. She'd be like, no, you gotta be kidding.
You're like, oh my God, I know I said babies 3 times in a row, but I didn't mean 3 babies.
Yeah. I was just trying to like call it like when you call Bloody Mary in your mirror. That's what I did. And it failed. I think they would have 3 kids. They just need it separate times. Triplets is but a not, lot.
Yeah, anyway. 3 at once is a lot.
I think it would be one of those moments where Schwartz would be like so fucking happy and Katie would be like, are you fucking kidding
me? Yeah, but knowing this is the same thing about the restaurant. Sandoval and Katie do all the actual work and Schwartz is just like a
figure. Sandoval would own one of those babies. He would take one and adopt it. Katie would literally call and be like, I need help. And Sandoval would be like, on my fucking way. I now own these babies.
12 grand into it.
67% of these babies are mine. Thank you so much. Okay. So now we're going out to eat. We're at the Belmont. It's James, Raquel, Sandoval, Ariana, Lalo, Randall, Katie, Schwartz, Sheena, Brock. And, you know, we order some shots. There was a time in James's life he would take every shot and the bartenders knew how to make his pumptini, but now they know how to make his Shirley Temple. And honestly, I love Shirley Temples. I love Shirley Temples.
Haven't had one in a very long time.
They're so good.
I love this.
So James does a toast to thank everyone for coming to Palm Springs. Raquel really likes the speech because James is such a natural speaker. To Raquel, everyone's a natural speaker.
Yes. But she's like, still have to give my speech. Let's get drunk.
She didn't do her speech. So I was like, maybe she won't do it and she'll just get drunk. Right. I was like,
I thought she was going to back out because Lala did say,
you don't have to do it. Yeah. So now, before this, whatever happens, Brock jumps in the seat next to Lala just to be like, hey, I heard
let's chat.
Yeah, so he apologizes about talking about his kids because it clearly triggered Lala a little bit, and he doesn't want like Lala to think that he's going to leave Sheena, and his goal is in the end to get his family back. And so Lala says, like, if anyone tried to keep her from Ocean, she would bash down doors and light the place on fire, which Brock says he totally respects that. Lala is in a different position though, and she shouldn't think he wouldn't bash down doors for his family.
Yeah. Okay. I love how Brock comes into this conversation. Yes. I think he has a very good, like, showing enough of his emotions and being like, listen, like, I see your worry and I appreciate it. And like, that is not my intent. Yes. And here's what I'm thinking. And I don't like what Lala says here, because I think it kind of comes from an entitled way, but also I'm not sure the facts behind this by any means, but I think that like family law tends to favor the mothers. So like, yeah. Lala, you're not in this situation. You don't have experience in this situation. You're with your baby's dad in this season right now. Who knows what the hell is going on in real life. But I just think like she doesn't know what it's like to be in his shoes and hasn't really taken the time to talk to him. And I just feel like this comes off very entitled that she would, if Brock went and broke down a door, do you really think that would help his case? Yeah. You really think that would help things?
I completely agree. And Brock's never been like blaming the ex or like saying it's not his fault. He has fully taken ownership that he did a lot of shit that led to this. Like, he fully says like what he did in his past led to this situation that he's in. Mm-hmm. And so Sheena also butts in and says like, we've talked about it. Like, it's not Lala's business, but Brock,
and like, feels, you don't have to explain yourself, Brock.
Yeah. But Brock really wants to, he says, it shows character that, you know, Lala can speak like this to him, to which Lala's like, we're not going to talk about character when you're the one who left your kids in Australia, I was like, don't like that. You don't bring people's kids. People throw that.
Yeah. I don't like when people throw stuff, like very emotionally heavy stuff in arguments. Like, that is below the belt and unnecessary. Yeah.
We don't do family. We don't do kids. You don't fucking bring it up. And so Brock says he's been nice, but this is ridiculous. Brock's ex is the one that cut the family from him. And Lala's like, yeah, but there has to be a reason. And Brock, this is where Brock nicely says, we're going to talk about it later. I'm not going to talk about it now. And Lala in her interview says she's not worried for Sheena. She's worried that Brock has a tendency to leave children and the woman, which isn't a tendency. It happened one fucking time. It's not a pattern.
I think she's like trying too hard on this.
Yes. She's now like, I'm a mother, so I must save all mothers, which is like not your job. It's like, it's not like your
job. Not here to save all the babies. If in a, like midway through the season, like it seems like Lala has all the information is like ready to throw down, I get it. But like, Lala, you've heard bits and pieces from Sheena. At this point, when this conversation happened, she has never once talked to Brock about this.
Yeah.
And I don't like this.
I don't either. But Brock says he's going to prove to Lala that he's a good dad. And Sheena says Brock doesn't have to prove anything, which I agree. But Brock says it's easy to prove that you're a good dad because all you have to do is see. So he's going
to
do it.
And I like how he leaves that. Like, I am here to prove it to you. I know. I see what you're saying. Like, this is something that's really important to you. I'm happy to discuss this like at a different time. This is not the time and place, but you will see through my actions. Yes. I'm not going to do this.
Do I think Brock's kind of shady? Sure. But is he likable? Yeah. He's really fucking likable in these conversations.
See, okay. So at the tea party, learning more information, but I think he is very honest and doesn't try to gloss over things and make it a certain way or blame the mom. Yeah. I feel like he's very neutral being like, listen, this is the situation. It's a shitty situation. This is not what I want. And I am working to improve it. Like, he's very realistic, like saying like, yeah, this is happening, but here's where I want to be.
He's just like likable in an argument. Like, I think Lala is trying to fire him up. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to get to me.
It's calm. It's and great. I really do appreciate that because he could easily go off and like say a lot of things to Lala.
Yeah. Well, plot twist, we're going to switch gears because now Raquel's ready and she's drunk enough to give her toast.
Wow.
She does first the best speech. And then she did say that she was so wet that she had to say
Doesn't stumble. No. Doesn't stumble when she says it either, like, she, or feel like show she's uncomfortable.
When she says it, everyone dies except Lala because Lala knows. And she's Lala's like, what the fuck did she just say? So everyone's cracking up, specifically James, I think. Maybe thought she was like too drunk and she just started saying.
I think she is drunk because then she goes on and says, the longer I look at my ring, the bigger it gets. And that's not the only thing. And like points down. So I think she is definitely drunk here.
James turns red, but he's like laughing. Sandoval loves it. We're all cheering Raquel on. I think Schwartz had a heart attack for a second.
She crushed it.
It was so good. She
basically rose to the occasion, did what Lala wanted, wasn't scared, didn't stumble, and one-upped it by even adding the bigger comment. Yeah.
10 out of 10 for my main bitch, Raquel. Nailed it. So now we go to California Fertility Partners. Katie and Schwartz are here. Katie's shirt sucks. I fucking hate it. I want her to strip it off.
Oh, I like this outfit.
I hate the boa shit, like the feathers around the arms.
I like the like all purple look. I think she's like trying to do an elevated look and I'm here for it.
Nope. Anyway,
especially knowing that immediately after this is the tea event, I understand why she's wearing this.
Nope. Goodbye. I hate it. So Schwartz is worried about his testosterone, but he did say Sandoval has offered to give some sperm or help out. And Katie's like, me with Sandoval's sperm. Imagine how emotionally unstable that kid would be.
I mean, the most controlling personality, like so hyped, could yell at anyone, like all the things. You need a Schwartz and a Katie baby. You cannot have a Sandoval and a Katie baby.
So high strung. But like a baby Sandoval, it would be late to everything and smell like cigarettes. I love. I'm in. So we go into the back. We take a look at Katie's uterus. It's pristine. Absolutely perfect. Tons of eggs.
So many follicles, which turn into eggs. I was very nervous whenever the doctor, because a lot of reality TV, I feel like, shows this process with fertility. So, like, I feel like I've been here before. I feel like I've been through this where they're follicles. I'm like, yes, I know exactly what you're follicles.
Yeah, I just wrote so many follicles. Like, I knew what that meant. I was like, oh my God.
Plenty of follicles, Katie. You go, girl.
So now it's time for Schwartz's semen analysis. Usually we want basically, if you didn't go through sex ed, the sperm, there's a little head where the DNA is, and that's the most important part of the sperm.
Yes.
And you want your sperm to have normal shaped heads, and only 4% of Schwartz's sperm has good heads. The rest of the sperm is shit.
Yeah.
And so the doctor does ask, like, drink, smoke, vape, like, what's happening? And so Schwartz says,
do you smoke? Yeah, and I do some mushrooms sometimes.
Oh my God. Schwartz is
like, do you drink?
10 to 20 drinks a week, that's a lot of drinks.
Especially because everybody knows, tell me if I'm wrong, that you cut it in half.
Yes, when you're telling a doctor. Because if they're horrified by your half number, you gotta like fucking stop.
So if Schwartz is playing that game, that means he's having 20 to 40 drinks a week.
Also, 10 to 20 is a huge gap. A huge, because if he's like, I'm doing 10 drinks a week,
10 to
like,
15.
Oh, it's not hard to go to 5. 10 to 20 is like from anywhere from, oh, I'm just getting like pretty lit with my boys, to I'm full on fucking hammered.
Multiple times a week is the thing. Your range should be like 5 to 10, because that either means I've had one drink every day
or two every day.
I'm getting shit faced twice.
Yeah. No, 20 drinks is a fucking lot. So
I mean, I hope this is his quarantine number. I'm going to give him that, though. I was drinking a lot in quarantine. God, like, damn. Prime quarantine time.
She was 10 to 20 drinks. Also, she asked, like, hot tubs and baths. Schwartz loves baths. He's always
this does not shock me.
Baths. Do you take baths? I've never liked them.
I hate baths.
I think because you're just floating in your filth.
Yes, you are just soaking in your filth. Listen, if I don't feel well, I'm all in for a bath because I do find that relaxing, like, with your muscles and stuff, like, and you don't have to move. There is a time and a place for it, but I'm sorry, I'm going to comfort people and you can just like yell at me on our Instagram, but hot people take. Who take baths multiple times a week, that's aren't your clean. Serial killer trait right
you're
there.
You're not clean. You're not
this
clean.
Is weird. No.
You're not clean. I hate it. After you're in a hot tub, you should take a shower. After you're in a bath, you should take a shower. Rinse it off. It's disgusting. And weaving in a nice flash to Schwartz in a bath where it's very
this
hot.
This reminds me of Friends when Chandler starts to like baths. Like, he gets really into them. Schwartz gets very into them. Clearly has some like bath salts and like doing all the things.
So, and it was a very hot bath. So then the doctor is like, hey, no pot, cut down on the alcohol. Definitely no mushrooms. Don't know what we're doing there. And also only cold baths or just take a shower. And he's horrified.
Yeah. And the science behind it is like your sperm needs to be cooler than your body, which makes so much sense. And Schwartz is like, I'd rather give up everything except the baths. I'm like, that's probably honestly the most important one.
It's just honestly for me, that'd be I'd be like, yeah, no baths. Easy peasy.
I'd be like, wow, tragic.
Yeah.
The only usefulness of a bath is turning the faucet on and using it to shave your legs. That's the only
10 out of 10
is the angle of shaving your legs is top notch in a bathtub.
Well, Schwartz's life has ended. He's the real problem. As per most men, if you watch
Shocker,
if you watched Handmaid's Tale, you'd find out that most men are the issue in these situations. So
okay,
sorry,
that's
men.
Fictional, like that show, but
but we
show.
Always blame the woman. Okay. So men get tested too. It's not always.
I'm not shocked.
I know
Schwartz is the problem.
His mushrooms really gave him his sperm two heads.
That so, answer shows us how many things are wrong with Schwartz.
So now we're at Villa Rosa. Lisa's getting ready for her tea party. She's got this gorgeous cake. Sheena comes in with her baby. Lisa's pumped. She loves babies. God.
I know. And she's like, it's so weird to watch someone you've known forever grow up and become an adult themselves and then have a baby, which I really thought back on, in a sense, the last 8 seasons, because we just watched seasons 1, 2, and 3 and then half of 4. Like watching this grow up over the last 10 years is wild. I can't imagine being in Lisa's shoes.
I cannot believe. Also, Erica, Sheena's mom is here, probably to babysit because she's just to help as Brock.
I was like, Summer's nanny is here.
Ariana's here. Love the outfit. This is the outfit. I need everyone in. I want to wear it.
Do you like Katie's? Katie comes too. Do you like Katie's pants? Do you like that it's like monochromatic? Is it just the...
It's the
feather
sleeves.
Boa thing.
It's the feather sleeves.
So if that didn't exist, are you like,
I'm sure her outfit would be fine.
You just got distracted
it's
by the
feathers.
Boas.
I hate feathers. Lala and her nurse are here with Ocean.
Oh my God.
So Erica and the nurse, after Lisa's done swooning over the babies, Erica and the nurse take the babies out of the way so the girls can have tea. I feel so bad.
Wasn't that the whole point of those babies coming in this tea party?
You know what? Someone else once upon a time, I don't remember who, brought a baby to like show Lisa. Oh my God. Oh my God. It was our girl, Jen and Jeremy back in the day. They had a baby.
Yes.
It showed up at Lisa's house and then never came back.
It's
a boy. Okay. Kingston showed up at Lisa's house and never came back. So babies are not welcome at the table. So Pandora better hire a full fucking nanny because that baby's not welcome at Lisa's table.
I just think it's so funny. This is definitely a reality TV thing and a rich person thing to be like, bringing the baby. Can you come take the baby now?
Yeah, we're done with the baby. So
we're done.
All the girls grab the food and head out. I just want to point out my main bitch, Ariana, got 2 plates. I get
it.
2 plates. I love 2 plates.
Love it.
The tea party is so cute. So cute.
Literally, I wonder if they were prompted to say it was cute or if that was just a coincidence.
Now that we know so much about Bravo, we're like, how involved are the producers?
This makes me feel like they were told to use the adjective cute because I don't think Lala would use the
term or Ariana cute. Would be like, it's she looked in pain when she said it. She's like, it's so cute.
Oh. Yeah.
So now we're at Katie and Schwartz's house. Schwartz has a bunch of fast food. I imagine this isn't great for sperm, but I'm not a doctor. So Brock shows up, boys night. Yeah. So what's happening here is we're showing Brock all this American shit. So we got McDonald's fries, American pie, wings, barbecue, and cold beer. And I don't know what Schwartz thinks Australia is, but all this shit, I'm sure I've been.
I love how he's like, wait, how long have you been in the US? And Brock's like, oh, 5 years. Like, yeah, so I'm not new here, dude.
Brock's fully in the fucking US. You didn't just move here.
And he's like, also, BT dubs, your food is not that great. Which no, I agree. Like,
I agree.
This isn't some like, I mean, I think it's funny what he's trying to do, but the fact that Brock's been here for 5 years makes it not that fun.
Also, listen.
And also, like, what are we showing?
I'm going to say it. I don't think, when I think of Australia, I don't think like cuisine. No offense to Outback Steakhouse.
I agree.
Like, I'm assuming that Australia and America have similar foods. Like, I think Brock has eaten McDonald's fries and wings before.
I'm sure there's something that we don't know about that is like their thing, but it's not like Italy where it's like, oh my God, the pasta and the pizza.
The bread, the like olive oil. Yeah, no, this is, I don't know what I would eat in Australia. I'm assuming it would be pretty much, I'm assuming they have hamburgers for me to chow on.
Everywhere does.
Yeah,
everywhere
I think does. It's fine. But Brock does try Cheese Whiz.
Okay, see, confused. That was worth it. This was worth it to show.
He doesn't understand how the life of the Cheese Whiz is fine if it's not in the fridge. It's
like, how does that shit? Like, how does that sit on a shelf? Don't ask questions.
Also, he turns the cracker upside down and the Cheese Whiz does not move an inch. I hate Cheese Whiz. I think it's the
grossest. I have not had it for years, but I think this is so funny. You know, actually, I just thought of an Australian thing. It's like Vegemite.
Oh my God, Vegemite. Yes.
Yeah.
It's an acquired taste because a lot of Americans hate it. Tim Tams are good, I've heard. That shit's good.
They're good.
So Sandoval comes in, super stylish, definitely not here for a boys' night, but he's one of the boys. He's number one boy in the group.
Listen, we got an extensive wardrobe we've curated over quarantine. We got to use it as much as we can, especially on camera.
James is also here, and this is where Brock says, welcome to America. And James is like, what the fuck are we doing? Because James has also been here for multiple years. I didn't even
catch that.
Yeah, Brock is like, welcome to America, bro. I was like, oh man.
Love. James, but Schwartz is also like, I got you some non-alcoholic beer, dude.
Amazing.
I wonder how James feels about non-alcoholic beer because technically there is a percentage of alcohol.
Yeah.
It's a very small percent. Like you still have to have you still have to be 21 to buy it, but yes. Does that count for alcoholics?
I'm not going to waste my calories for the night on some non-alcoholic. But like,
would an alcoholic think that that's okay to drink?
I don't know.
That's what I thought.
Also, just like sidebar, my uncle chooses to drink non-alcoholic beer.
Stop.
And my dad thinks he's a serial killer. Like high key, my uncle What's buys the it point? Just for fun.
I love the taste of beer, but I'm not just going to be drinking it for the taste. Well,
my dad, it was funny because at a family gathering, my dad accidentally had the non-alcoholic beer and he like didn't notice. But then he looked and he's like, oh, if I'm drinking beer, I'm going to get a little drunk off of it. Like
I'm going to have all the positive.
My uncle was like, oh, I don't want to be hungover so I can be fit.
Stop.
I like fitness people drink it, which my dad was like, why would you drink
beer? An ultra.
Just drink water.
Drink an ultra at that point.
Okay. So we're back at Villa Rosa super quick. Katie, news on the baby. And we all cheers to Katie's pristine uterus.
Oh my God, that's amazing. But Schwartz, back at the guys' day.
Back to boys' night. Schwartz has misshaped sperm acids and James could not breathe because he's laughing too hard.
He's like, I misshaped it and my sperm have multiple heads. And they're like, that is the most Schwartz thing ever.
Like Brock's face, his jaw drops, and like Sandoval feels bad, but James in the background, they don't show it, but you can hear his laugh on the mic. That's how funny it was.
Well, because Sandoval like makes fun of it, and he like makes that face that I think they're all laughing. A, just at Schwartz's situation, and Sandoval like, I guess, being Schwartz's sperm for the day. I hope for that for Halloween.
The sperm, the misshaped sperm, and the good sperm, and Sandoval then Katie's posts, an egg.
Halloween is literally on Sunday. I really hope that somebody posts that as a Halloween picture.
That'd be so funny. But then we find out Schwartz can only have 4 drinks a week, which makes James laugh even harder because he's already had 3 tonight.
Yeah, and we get the receipt. Yeah, there's just, we have receipts. This is never going to happen. I think the one thing that will happen is he will not do mushrooms.
I think he won't smoke pot. I think he's fine.
I think he'll maybe do it a few times and be like, I know I really shouldn't. And it'll be like twice in like 6 months, but
this dude's going to drink in the bathtub. That's how dedicated he is to those two things.
100%.
Yeah. So back at Villa Rosa, Katie talks about how she's going to do fertility acupuncture, and Sheena loves acupuncture. She just had it earlier. Personally, yes. I've never done it. I never want
never
it.
Done
it's
it.
One of those rich
freaks
things.
Freaks me out.
No, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, but Brock is so great. He brought up my acupuncturist from San Diego. He's the best. He spoils me. Oh, yay.
Mason's never met him, and she wants to meet him because he sounds perfect. And then this is where Lala steps up to the plate and says she doesn't want anyone to feel like she's attacking or putting anyone on the spot, but Brock pulled Lala aside to talk to her, and she found out why Brock's not allowed to see the kids, and Sheena's basically like, okay, what'd he tell you?
2 things before we really dive into this, because yes, I think I'm going to forget to say these once I get heated about this.
I'll shut up.
Is one, I do appreciate Lala pushing this storyline around or like along. I do appreciate that. However, there's a difference between being a good reality TV star and being a good friend.
Yeah.
And you can't always be both at once. And at this point, Lala has chosen reality TV star.
Yeah. And she's got to stop playing it off like she's a good friend, because she is not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No. So Sheena keeps asking, what did he tell you? What did he tell you? Because I don't think Sheena even knows what, because she knows Brock doesn't want this on camera, clearly. So she's like,
yes,
you
but
say
I
it
also,
first.
Yes. And I think it's like, I don't want to say too much if he hasn't told you everything. So you tell me what you know, and I'll speak to what,
and I'll
like,
just go
what level you
of
know
that.
At.
Mm-hmm. So Lala says that Brock is not allowed to see the kids because his ex got him with a domestic violence charge, which is where the mood really drops.
It's like
for
a,
everyone.
Whoa.
Brock told Lala that they were in a relationship and things got physical. Sheena says she knows everything, but Brock didn't do anything, which I don't love Sheena being like, nothing happened. Because I have to
this
believe
is typical
the women.
Well, but, and like Lala says this at some point, like, okay, yeah, it may not be exactly what's written on like in court documents, but something happened.
Yes. Do I think people can change from their past? Sure. But do I think something happened if someone's claiming domestic violence? Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think always at minimum, something has happened. I think when things go to legal, I think there are lawyers out there who will win at any cost and will say things that maybe didn't happen, but that doesn't mean that it completely did not happen.
Yes.
At the same time.
So Lala says it takes a lot for a court to say you cannot see your children. So forgive her for being a little fucking concerned for Sheena. And this is where Katie's like, is there a restraining order? Just because Katie wants to like figure things out a little bit. And then Lala starts crying about the children. And Sheena is so over it. She rolls her eyes for everyone to see. Let's pause really quick. I don't think Lala should be crying because it's not her children to be concerned with. And I think it's kind of an act, but I do think Sheena
I agree. Cause she's crying about Brock's other children.
Yeah. She said she's never met Winter and the other
one.
the Australian duo.
Winter and the other one.
The Australian
you
duo.
Don't know. You just met Brock. It's not like you're like been friends with these people forever. Like, come on. I think it's a little fake.
But I do think Sheena's just pissed at this point, but she's not looking great either.
And Sheena has a tendency to
love men.
Tone down things and just say everything's perfect.
She loves for men. So Sheena says, sure, but that's not why he can't see his kids. And Sheena's confused, which probably I'm like, is. Probably
hold
is.
Up. You're telling me he has a domestic violence charge and a restraining order, and that's not why he can't see his kids?
There's more. What's happening? Come on.
Like, come on.
Sheena says she's confused why Lala is acting like this now, because she already knows all of this, and Sheena thinks people can change, and this happened a long time ago. I do think Lala's overacting. I think she's just a little too concerned. And I think if I understand being concerned for your friend, I get that. But I think if your friend is still staying strong of like, I don't want your opinion, and you gotta kind of like, be like,
I know everything. This isn't new to me.
Yeah.
Like I believe Sheena that like Brock has been very open about this. He does seem very open to talk about this, just not on camera. Like we've said that Lala's acting like this is groundbreaking information to everyone at the table. And it's not.
Also, I give my opinion on plenty of my friends' boyfriends and whatever. It's different when there's a kid involved, because if Sheena's going to make this work for her kid, I got to back up, you know, like there's a point where you're like, you know, all the information. So I'm going to shut the fuck up now, which Lala doesn't do.
I have a few things I thought during like this scene, because, well, let's fast forward through like, the rest of this.
Wait, there's one more thing I also like want to bring to attention. So Sheena says, or maybe it's Lala, I don't remember, but it's confirmed that Brock can't see his kids now because he's late and backed up on child support. And this is where I was like, oh my God, he's a reality TV star. He's got tons of money now.
Not yet. Not at this point when they're filming.
He will. And Sheena says she knows Brock and she wants to stop talking about this, which I think was for Brock's own wishes of not bringing this up on camera.
Because basically Brock did the same thing of like, let's stop talking about this during that dinner.
So we're at Villa Rosa for a little bit.
I have some thoughts here before we get to Brock. Is one, I am big on timelines. If this happened, and like, what country is this court in? Is it a US thing? Did this happen when he was visiting? Did this happen in Australia? What year did this happen? If this happened when they had just broken up and that was 5 years ago, I think a lot can change in that time. And I agree with that. But all then also finding out that all that court case and restraining order is not the reason he can't see his kids. It's because of fucking child support payments. That's where he lost me. Now I'm actually done.
Because he's going to hook up with a rich reality TV star.
Well, you say you came to America to make a better life for your kids, and you're telling me you're not paying for child support.
Child support, so you're actually not making a better life for your kids.
You're joking me, right? Because if you don't have a great income, you could file a case to I mean, I don't know Australia's laws, but at least in the US, it's based off your income.
Mm-hmm.
So you should always be able to pay it. And if not, then you would go back to court and redo it.
Yeah, this was, well, along with all that, this is just when my alarm bell went off and says Brock is on the show for money and clout, not for Sheena.
1000%.
He's a clout chaser.
I hope he's since paid off his child support, because that's going to be really upsetting if he hasn't. I'm ready for this episode.
Because he's got money now. Like, you've been on a season of Vanderpump Rules. They paid you. You're also doing a bunch of like endorsements and shit.
Ads, I bet. You're on Sheena's podcast. You're on Sheena's YouTube.
And
I don't
you
think
can't
she should
tell
be on the
me,
hook for it.
But you can't tell me Sheena's not going to pay you well, because she gave Rob the divorce closet, which was a genius idea. And now he owns that. So
I don't think Sheena should be making the majority of the income to pay for it. But I think that you guys are now a family unit and aren't engaged, that her income from those types of things that you are also on can help pay for it.
Listen, if you can pay for that ring, you can pay for some child support.
Oh my
sir.
God. Yes,
sir. So, let's go to boys' night. Schwartz has the meat sweats. It's super fucking hot. And while we're focused on the temperature, Brock gets a text from Sheena, or he gets two. One is, why the fuck would you tell Lala about the restraining order? And the other is, Jess was completely blindsided and had to try and defend that. So Brock's pissed and he shows the dudes. Basically, he's mad. He's the most mad that Lala is talking about this on camera.
Yes. And Ariana was on Watch What Happens Live right after this. And Ariana's like, it's very naive of Brock to think that he can tell Lala and Randall something off camera and they won't bring it on camera.
Yeah. Straight up. Welcome to reality.
I don't know if that's Sheena's fault for not coaching him in that stuff, but there's an art to reality TV. And just because it's set off camera does not mean that it's not going to be brought on camera.
Dude, I'm telling you, you should watch the show before you go on.
He has, we're about to get into it.
Also, we have had multiple conversations on the reunions of, I show more of my life than you do. You don't show enough. And Lala's been big on that because she got roasted for not bringing Randall on it because he wanted to stay private.
That is a good point.
So like, we're doing all this shit. It's coming out on camera.
Technically, Brock is the one who brought the discussion on camera first.
Yes. He sat down next to Lala and said that. And if he really didn't want it on camera, he should have said, you know, just to protect my kids. Cause if he brought the kids into it, Lala should shut the fuck up. But if he said like to protect my kids from getting a bad edit and like them hating me and I'm really trying to work on this.
Yeah. The reason I told you to stop is because I don't want this much of it on camera.
Give a reason. If she doesn't respect that, then that sucks. But bro,
you have to be. Yeah. So, bro, so clear. We do that even when we record, it's like we talk before we even start recording.
Yeah. So bro, look out. But, so Brock's really mad. James says Lala keeps it real, so Brock should have probably not confided in her, but in Lala's head it's also not gossiping or talking shit, it's just giving her opinion. And you obviously didn't watch the show well enough to know that Lala does that shit. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Lala will say it does not have a filter. Yes. And I get that is just her, so that's, I think it's on Brock for telling Lala.
Yeah, Brock's so mad, he hates Lala. Schwartz is visibly upset, like a child when his parents are fighting. That's how Schwartz looks when everyone's fighting. Sandoval sympathizes with Brock then starts crying because someone came for his family. It's a big mess in the front yard. If I'm a neighbor, I do
have sympathy for Brock a little bit. This is a lot,
because I do think this could affect his getting reinvolved with his family. Yes.
I think a big part of just like life is having sympathy for multiple people and multiple parties in one situation. Yeah. Like Lala did not cause Brock's situation. Brock is on the hook for that. But I do have sympathy for this being his first season. And this is episode five. And it seems like it's only been a few weeks that they've been filming. Like, this is a lot very soon.
I also feel bad because I feel like Brock, who has not been in reality TV very long, is really trying to make a true friendship connection with Lala and Randall.
That's true.
And he feels betrayed because they did this on TV, which in reality TV world, that's what happens with friendships. And that's why a lot of them maybe aren't real off camera. But I think Brock doesn't know that. And he doesn't like expect that. Like, I think even if we watch enough reality TV, we know that. But if we're really trying to connect with someone and they do something for camera, we would still feel kind of betrayed if they screwed us on camera.
I would be devastated if this were me. Because if you think about, like, we've gone through a whole pandemic. They've been dating at least together for almost 2 years. They've been together, I think, for 2 years at this point. But because of the pandemic and then living in San Diego for a bit, he has not really spent time with the majority of these people. So this is truly him trying to make friendships with these people.
It's upsetting all around. I think it's just a bad situation. I think Brock's not ready for reality TV. And I think Lala's too ready to take people into reality TV.
That the reason is child support. And I need more information.
Yes. I need so much information. But, so looking back, Brock says he would do things differently and he does really miss his kids, which I believe him. I do think all that is really
I think
true.
He is very genuine.
We do a round of hugs for Brock. Brock leaves. James looks like he's about to break his sobriety and drink because this was too much stress. And then we go back to Villa Rosa really quick, where life is nothing but awkward.
Let's get more tea, because that's what we do in England when things are uncomfortable.
And the episode ends. So next time, We have boys' night with Sandoval in a hat. Raquel got a nose job and she has to exercise her nose.
I need more information.
I don't need to laugh, but I want to see someone put their fingers up their nostrils and exercise it. That's my
dream. I didn't even know this happened in real life.
Listen, now I'm going to just picture all these rich ass people getting nose jobs, like Paris Hilton sitting there with her fingers up her nostrils. That's my dream.
I need somebody to post a before and after on Twitter so you can screen grab it next episode.
The Toms have to convince Greg that they know what's happening. I think Greg is Tom Sandoval's stepfather. There's a lot of things being
dropped.
I think that's his stepfather. Maybe. I'm just assuming that's who this older man is. I have no idea who Greg is.
If it's not, I'm like, okay, Randall deserves to be in here now.
Sheena wants to know why Lala is concerned. Sandoval goes head to head with Lala, which I'm pumped. Let's fucking see that. Let's just skip the whole episode, get to that.
I have no clue what's going on next up. I feel like I missed an episode after seeing that preview.
Agree. Who the fuck is Greg?
I don't know who Greg is. When did Raquel get a nose job? And then, yes, let's see Lala get railroaded.
But Sandoval also might get railroaded. I don't know. This is like one of those that I don't have a clear person I'm rooting for. I'm just going to watch.
I have no clue what's going to happen.
It's just a draw. Okay, accepted and blocked. Who are we bringing onto our feed for the week and who are we getting rid of?
Alicia, you know I normally have this picked out. I know immediately, but I don't even know how to feel about anyone.
I have for sure my accepted and maybe my blocked.
I know who my blocked needs to be because I'm just like very disappointed.
All right. I have mine.
But I'm disappointed in two people.
I'm ready. I am too, okay. But I've picked mine. I've picked a side.
Okay.
And I don't like it, but I have to do it. I'm blocking Sandoval.
Really?
I know. I love him. He's really getting on my nerves. You can't say you don't like your best friend when he's with his wife who he's been with for 10 fucking years.
Yeah. You
can't say you have PTSD from a fucking argument that no one even remembers because it wasn't that important. And didn't him and Stassi make up like 5 minutes later?
Yes. Somebody pointed out that Sandoval was screaming at Katie in his own restaurant.
Yeah.
About Katie screaming at him in his own restaurant.
It was hilarious. I just think he's being too entitled. And I just got the mind blown that he inserted himself into Ariana's cocktail book. So yes. Katie can insert herself wherever the fuck she wants.
Right.
Sorry, not sorry.
Okay. That is a good block. I'm going to go with Brock because I'm really disappointed to find out even with all those goddamn court cases, which are not cool. That's not even the reason. It is child support. I cannot believe it is because of child support, which I don't think is the reason his family is cut off. I think there are emotional things going on too, but he legally doesn't have a case to even go get those, talk to his kids.
Yes.
Yeah, is what it seems like.
It's rough.
So very disappointed there.
Okay. I'm going to accept though, Katie. I think she was great this episode, even with her dumbass shirt.
Minus her shirt.
Listen, I appreciate her opening up about her abortion and kind of showing a different side of it of like, we don't regret it, but we want to have children now that we're ready. I appreciate her and her pristine uterus. It's not always the woman's fault. Hell men should get checked too. And I appreciated her not getting involved in this Sheena versus Lala thing. She just wanted to clear a few things up. It got a little awkward, but I think she had a great episode. Her cookie looked fucking bomb. That's 90% of what I want to do with my life. That
made it sound like her vagina, by the way.
Oh my God.
No, talking about her fertility.
You're right. Her real cookie that she made. And she knew she's not going to go argue with Sandoval. She'd rather remove herself with the situation, which is what I do.
Boundaries. That's Boundaries what I are do. Very healthy thing.
So I respect it. Make yourself a cookie and fucking max, girl.
I'm going to give Raquel a little gold star because I'm really proud of her with that speech. Oh my God,
we love. She's so wet. Anyway.
But I am accepting Schwartz this week because he stood up for his wife and I'm so proud of him against Sandoval, who is a difficult competitor. Stood up for Katie finally.
He's a steamroller.
Yes. Schwartz said, hell no, go to fucking therapy, get over it. And I have sympathy that he's the problem in the baby making component, because I hope he doesn't feel like guilt or shamed or anything over it, because he was dubbed the problem. And it kind of makes me sad for them and for him specifically, because I think he is going to be an amazing dad despite his pushover abilities.
I agree. I think he's going to love that kid so much, especially because he's a big brother. Okay. So few things really quick. I put out a poll and I'm going to go look at those polls. So let me look at all my tweets
here. Let me do watch what happens while you're pulling those up.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I have some stuff I'm going to say for Winterhouse when we record tomorrow, and that comes out Monday because
Craig was on.
Yes. Craig was with Ariana. So
that's a duo. Yes,
it was amazing. I highly recommend people to go watch it if they didn't. Whose side are you on, Lala or Brock? 52% said Brock, which doesn't shock me because of how, like, the presentation of it.
Yeah, Lala's presentation was not great.
Ariana said she was happy that the Brock story was finally out there, and he, like, kind of put it out there, and she doesn't feel Lala was being genuine about bringing it up. Was Lala's apology to Raquel genuine? People said yes. I didn't get the percentage, but a lot of people said yes. Ariana says she thinks it's genuine because Lala does not apologize often. Mm-hmm. And Ariana still to this day has not gotten an apology from Lala about the podcast incident earlier this season.
Woohoo! All right. Hot.
And I think last one really on Vanderpump is, are you surprised Schwartz's sperm have misshapen heads?
No.
95% of people said no.
Not even like slightly. Awesome. Wow. Yeah. Good info. I need to go watch that one, because that's the one to watch.
There was a good game where it was like, can you defend him, Ariana, about Sandoval? And one of them was for being friends with Jax after he slept with Kristen. And she goes, absolutely not.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Everyone who forgave his ass, wrong. I posted this one. It was my unpopular opinion. Schwartz is the real problem. He needs to learn how to speak up for himself and stopping a pushover. He uses Katie and Sandoval for the same thing to communicate his thoughts. So I said, is Schwartz the real problem? 9 people voted. 9 people said yes.
So and we are two of those.
We are two of those people. Yes. Okay. Then I asked.
Come vote in our polls. Come on. They're fine.
Then I asked. So it was basically like, Sheena knows the truth, but Lala needs to respect Sheena and like stop bringing this up on camera and like coming for her future husband. So like, I totally understood that. It was fine. And so I asked, like, is Lala too concerned, or is Sheena not concerned enough? And we had 8 people vote. 6 people said Lala is too concerned.
You should have done the thing where you can do multiple, because I think both personally.
Oh, well, sorry. You only get one option. So 6 people said Lala is too concerned, and 2 people said Sheena is not concerned enough. And then actually, I know we never read DMs, but someone did say that Lala doesn't have an end goal. Like, what does she want Brock to do? So Lala's just being a shit stirrer.
I agree. That's a good point. Like,
I kept saying,
don't do this to Sheena.
Yeah.
If you don't want Brock to do this to Sheena, you attacking him and doing all this stuff is not going to cultivate a great relationship for him to stay in this group. Exactly. You're actually making it worse.
Yeah.
This isn't the way you go about it. I would rather a coffee shop one-on-one conversation about this. I think that would be a lot more end game, whatever her end game is, if it is to stop Brock, like stop Brock from doing this, which he's done it once.
Yeah, I completely agree. With that, I would just like to say there is if you go to Craig's Instagram, there is a drinking game for Winterhouse that he has posted. So Meredith, this one's for you. Also, I'm so excited to record Winterhouse, because Dustin gave us so many things to talk about, and I'm so excited for me to read them, because I'm going to laugh. Okay, I think
me
that's
too.
It.
Yeah, join us for Winter House.
Yeah, we're gonna record, I think, tomorrow. Till then, we're gonna sign the fuck off.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.